Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
This is Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Game over! Notre Dame knocks off number one!
Tell them what time it is.
We're going to keep getting back here. I'm sorry if you don't like it, and we're going to put ourselves back in this position again.
Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
Notre Dame is the national champion!
Fisher's going to keep it himself. Slips past a tackler and dives with one hand to the end zone. Touchdown, Mishawaka.
On Sports Radio 960 AM. WSBT.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him.
And now your host, Sean Stiers.
Nah, Sean left us for Daytona Beach. Well.
Sucker.
Yeah, right?
Wait, who's the sucker again?
I don't know.
That's probably us.
10-1, he's going to come back with an amazing tan.
It's wrong.
It really
it's
is.
Wrong. It's not right at all in any way, shape, or form. But you know what? Good for him. Good for Sean Stiers.
I guess.
And he gets to call games of a team that wins, so that's different.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah,
Sean's with the women's basketball team. They're down at the Daytona Beach Invitational. They've got two games, one on Friday, one on Saturday. Georgia and Oregon State on the slate for them, respectively. So that means you get me and Vince today. I'm Jim Irizarry, and yeah, we'll try not to burn the place down.
Well,
that's all I can really promise.
I got to tell you, touche to the women's basketball program for going down there on Tuesday when they don't have a game till Friday.
Right.
That's well played.
That is
well played.
That is that is making the most out of the travel budget right there.
No doubt. Well, we got to go down there. We don't have school, so bye.
We don't want to have a pilot have to work on Thanksgiving.
I mean, they're just looking out for others is
sure.
What they're doing, and I can appreciate that and get on board.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why not?
Yeah.
So, that's where Sean is for basically the rest of the week. We will hear from him tomorrow. He will be,
sporadically, periodically, yeah. He will grace us with his presence.
Yeah, he'll check in, with the show tomorrow and, basically make sure that, he still has a job come Monday to come back to. So
I can guarantee if you and I are at the helm, he will definitely have a job come back Monday. I'm throwing it out there. We're just keeping the seat warm.
Pretty safe to say, really. I'll just say that right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Plenty to get to today. Of course, new college football playoff rankings. Those come out, of course, right after we sign off tonight. Why
yes.
not?
Yes, they do. And I'm excited about it. And I'll throw a shameless plug out there.
Okay.
Brian Driscoll and I over at IrishBreakdown.com, we do a show
every
Tuesday night after the rankings come out. We dissect it and we give our opinion and we talk and we analyze and all of those different things. And it looks like that will be approximately at 7:30. So if you go over to YouTube.com and you just search Irish Breakdown, you'll find our live show because we'll do it right over there. And we're going to talk college football and college football playoffs and all that fun stuff. So shameless plug by me, but basically all it means is I'll be doing radio / podcasting, for 3 hours straight here or more.
That's not a bad way to go.
It's fun. It's, I'll start to squeeze dinner in there somewhere. But when you're talking college football and I know I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good night. So it's all good to me.
There you go. School's off?
School is off, baby.
Nice.
It was a two-day week. And my wife celebrated a big birthday yesterday, so I hung out with her all day. So I didn't go to work yesterday. So it's a one-day week for me, which was, come on. Let's just say I can get on board with the one-day week.
Can I say something?
Oh, absolutely.
If you're just going to be open for 2 days in a week...
Right.
Why even open the doors?
I know.
Why?
I thought about that. And let's just say that the clientele that I work with, they thought that was silly too. And most of them did not come. So it's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Lots of the substitute role went through.
Yeah. Well, from the student standpoint, nobody subbed for them.
Oh,
they just decided
okay.
not to show up.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Hey, I get paid the same either way. So, bombs away.
Yeah, Timmy's got to travel to Grandma's house.
Yeah.
Over in Elkhart. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, exactly. Oh, week-long vacation. Done. Sold.
They missed out on... At least this is the way it was when I was in high school. They missed out on a playing of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's
pros and cons to that, I think.
Yeah, so. You're not wrong. Yeah. And I assume that that was going on in many rooms across our great Michiana area, from kindergarten all the way up to senior class. So I can only speak for what my children were doing, and it wasn't far off. So
nice.
Good for them. Whatever.
Nice. This just in.
What do we got? Breaking news.
Right. James Franklin and Penn State agreeing to a new 10-year contract?
Oh, my God. Well, when are these trustees going to learn?
Through 2031, worth $7.5 million per year plus incentives. Also, a $1 million annual life insurance loan. Okay. This extension is Franklin's fourth contract at Penn State already.
Wow.
He had most recently signed a six-year deal back in December 2019. And, of course, he had been talked about as replacing Clay Helton out at USC. He was one of the top three names that had been out there for that. So Penn State decided they need that 11-9 over the last 2 years. They need that for 10 more years, apparently.
Good grief. I mean, look, he's doing a good job on the recruiting trail, but it has not manifested itself onto the field on a consistent basis. And apparently 11-9 gets you in a 10-year contract, which, wow. But then again, let's see. Didn't Michigan State win like two games last year? And then they start out, 7-0, I think, and then they lose two. And so, you know, the record at Michigan State isn't a whole lot better.
True.
But 10-year deal.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Mel Tucker gets 10 years, 95 mil.
Yeah. So apparently 10-year deals is what is going on. And again, I said this the other day when we were talking about Mel Tucker. Notre Dame fans remember Charlie Weiss.
Right.
And his 10-year deal that Notre Dame was still paying while he was also receiving money from the University of Kansas, whom he was also not working for anymore.
Right.
So 10-year deals kind of have a way of coming back to bite you just a little bit, and I think they're ridiculous. 6 years, okay, I get on board with that to a degree, but 10 years? So much will change in 10 years, especially on the college football coaching landscape where people get hired and fired at the drop of a hat.
Right.
And but, you know, Mel Tucker and James Franklin have 10-year deals. I don't get it.
And also, you know, you've got recruits basically going school to school.
They don't have to sit out anymore.
Yeah.
So they can transfer anytime they want, you know, and that's obviously going to hurt things as well. So
I saw this in a friend's conversation on Facebook just the other day. For some reason, Tate Martell got brought up. You remember Tate Martell?
Oh, I remember Tate Martell because he was on that show, QB1, that was on Prime, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that show. And I've kind of followed the careers of those guys that have been on that. Spencer Rattler was on there. Sam Hartman, who's at Wake Forest, he was on there. Justin Fields was on there. So, I mean, big name guys, right?
Yeah.
And let's see
and,
here.
And then Tate Martell.
Yeah, and Tate Martell. And they've all transferred.
Who is
they've
now?
All transferred from their original school or will be transferring from their original school.
Tate Martell's on his third.
Except Sam Hartman. He went Wake. He stayed there. And now he obviously did what they did this year, doing what they're doing. But yeah, Tate Martell. Let's see. Ohio State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he went south, I believe.
Miami?
Right? Miami, thank you.
Yeah.
He went to Miami. Then he went to UNLV. Does that sound right? What was the third school?
Efforting on that.
I'm pretty sure it was UNLV because he's from the Vegas area.
And UNLV. I'm pretty sure
he went to UNLV. Now. So school number three. And since you were efforting, did you pull up his stats by any chance at UNLV?
I can real quick. Just takes a click.
Because I know at Miami he was moved to wide receiver.
Right.
And I believe that did not work out very well. And then he moves home to UNLV. And I think he was going to get a shot at being the quarterback, but I don't believe that ever transpired, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be wrong.
He has some attempts.
Okay.
He's only played in one game.
Okay.
2 for 6 against Iowa State back on the 18th of September. That, by the way, a 48-3 loss by the Rebels. 2 for 6, 27 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So, okay.
And is he going to transfer again? Is that why you're bringing him up, or just the fact that he's gone to 3 schools in his collegiate career?
It's really just the fact that he's gone to 3 schools. The fact that he even got an offer after the second one is amazing to me.
That is very true.
I think we both went to college at like the wrong time.
Well, and I switched schools at one point in school, and the transferring of credits is a real pain in the neck. I cannot imagine going to 3 different schools.
Yeah,
he's going to be in college until he's 30.
He's already 23.
Is he really that old?
Yeah, he's already 23.
Oh, he's probably one of those ones, because he had kind of that real intense dad, so he's probably one of those guys that got held back in, like, kindergarten so that he could make varsity as a freshman. You know who those guys are.
Yeah.
I see those people awful lot.
I went to school with a lot of those guys, too,
back in the day. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh, they're graduating high school at 20, you know, because they got held back. Because I don't want my kid playing freshman football.
Walking across a stage with a full 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they shaved that morning.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
I've seen that happen many times. And you know how many times it's worked out? Not many of them.
I'm making the zero sign as I pitifully whistle there. So, yeah. Let's see. College hoops, we got that to talk about, of course, late last night.
Late.
Tell me about it.
Late. I saw your social media video.
Yeah.
Sitting there getting ready for the game. I saw it this morning because I certainly didn't see it live.
Right.
And I was like, oh, poor Jim.
Right,
poor
yeah.
Poor Jim.
Yep. Here.
And what time were you walking out of there last night or this morning?
Two.
Two? Yeah, that was going to be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief.
2 a.m.
Wow.
So.
And they just keep the start times when they should have been in Hawaii, and then when they moved it to Vegas? I mean,
What is that, by the way?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, it's the Maui Invitational. It's obviously supposed to be in Maui.
Right.
But COVID travel restrictions and all that forced it to Las Vegas. I got no problem with that.
Me neither.
Keeping the times, though, as if it's still being played in Maui.
Is that what they did? Did they seriously do that? I was joking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That is exactly what they did.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay. So like the very last game of the tournament, by the way, a game that Notre Dame has a very real shot at playing in because they're playing Chaminade, a Division II school.
I would hope they could win tonight, but
right.
Just saying.
I'm not gonna lie; it did sound like a really good game last night. Like they were in it the whole time.
But from what I understand, it was like a 2-3 point game. You know, going back and forth, lead changes, all that fun stuff. I think
the largest lead by either team was 7,
okay.
and that was early on in the game. But yeah, the last game of the tournament is scheduled for 11:30 Eastern time tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So if Notre Dame wins, are they playing in that game?
Yes.
Of course they are. So Jim Irizarry is the biggest Chaminade fan on the planet. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Maybe. Let's see.
Now, is it double elimination? So if they lose, are they done?
No, there's...
They're guaranteed to play three.
Okay, so there's a winner's bracket,
uh-huh.
and then there's the consolation bracket, as they call it.
Yes, yes, which Notre Dame is in.
Right. Also included with the consolation bracket, and also on the champions, you know, the winner's bracket too, there's an extra game in the winner's bracket. It's a game to determine third and fourth place.
Okay, so they don't, obviously, once you get to a certain point, they're not right. going to drop you to the consolation bracket. You're just right. playing for third and fourth.
Yeah, right, right, right. So, you know, that'll be between, you know, either Wisconsin and Houston or, you know, Oregon and St. Mary's, whatever. The game to determine seventh and eighth is at 9 p.m.
It's so you're looking at 9 or 11:30, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's a big difference, though.
It really
old
is.
Old men like us, that's a big difference.
It really okay? is. I mean,
yeah.
It just I'm not going to lie. I've been in radio now, you know, like about 20 years.
Yeah.
And that is the latest that I have ever started a live event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the
just ridiculous.
Absolute latest. So.
Yeah. Like, I've been on games where, you know, they might go into the, you know, past midnight, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing. If it's an overtime, primetime type game.
Yeah, Sunday night football does that all the time. Monday night, you know,
sure.
the NFL does that all the time.
And we do post-game shows for, you know, games yeah. that are in prime time for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, you know, generally up late.
We've contributed to that madness even.
Yes, so. we absolutely have. But to start a game at 11:30 is madness. It's madness, okay?
I mean, granted, 8:30, you know, out in Vegas.
That's still not, I mean, yeah, I mean, if it's Vegas, you just, yeah. you know, your night hasn't even started yet. But
that's true, that is
kind
of early.
And that's for the younger crowd, okay?
Yeah.
I'll be that guy, I'll be the old man on the porch. Get off my lawn, I don't stay up that late. I'll be that guy, because my night is wrapping up, okay? So... I will probably not be tuning in tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm just throwing it out there.
The championship game tomorrow is at 5, though. That seems a little early. But then, you know, it's like...
That sounds glorious.
You know what? A lot of people probably have a half day at the office, if they're even going in.
Yeah, as I say, you know? Or nothing at all. So 5 yeah. o'clock is like, man, we're waiting around for 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, yeah.
You know, if there's somebody who has to get something in, you know, around here, you know, good luck finding them. You know, you need like a bloodhound and, you know, or like a pack of bloodhounds even and, you know,
yes.
some hunters to find them.
That's true generally, let alone during a holiday week.
So yeah. day before
but
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, hopefully Notre Dame can pull one out tonight, but yeah. I'm sure that that's not what Jim wants.
All I know is that at some point I'm going to have to bake a pecan pie. And I don't know when the hell I'm going to do it.
Is it pecan or is it pecan?
Or well, I go back and forth quite honestly.
Okay,
I've said pecan today. I've said pecan today.
Wow, you've gone both ways.
Yeah,
look at you.
Yeah,
I've always been pecan.
Yeah,
but yeah, just curious.
But
that was clearly not on the script. I just figured I'd ask.
I mean, all I know is that I make a pretty damn good pie. So
I believe
it. I will say that. So
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. We do the potluck, so everybody's bringing stuff.
All right.
We manage the turkey. You know, we do the big main piece, the main dish, and then everybody brings the rest.
Right.
Because we host.
Yeah. We
yeah, it's just easier to not pack up all the children and everything else and go someplace else. So
the wife and I just had our plans drastically change.
Oh, really?
Just like a couple of hours ago. We were going to go down to my dad's house.
Okay.
And he just lives like an hour away. It's he lives in a tiny little town called La Crosse, Indiana.
I know where that is.
Do you really?
I do.
Wow.
I had...
You're one of three. Anyway.
We're going deep here, but I coached some fall baseball, and I had some players from La Crosse High School on my team.
Okay. All right.
So, great kids.
All right. So, yeah, cute little town.
I don't know if that's how they grow them down there, but those kids were great.
I don't know. You know, the kids I've run into down there, which, you know, it's few and far between, quite honestly, whenever I'm out walking around down there. But, you know, all seem nice. But, so, yeah, we were going to go down there. And my dad calls up today and says that that my stepmom may have been exposed to COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Cancel those plans.
Yep, pulling the plug.
Yep.
But I guess this also means that I don't have to load up both of the dogs.
Ooh, solid point.
Yeah, which is good because they're still in that stage. We've only had the puppy for month and a half or so.
Oh wow!
And they are still in the communicating in the phase of communicating love through something I like to call bitey face. So yeah.
My kids actually do that too. So
bitey face.
Of course.
Wow.
Just trying to relate to you, Jim.
That is something right there.
Only when they're in the car for more than 10 minutes. That's usually how that goes.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat. It is brought to you by, of course, the fine folks at Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Football fans, this Bud's for you. Also by Wings Etc. Grill and Pub with 14 Michiana area locations. Stop in today or order online at togo.wingsetc.com. Tim Growl, State Farm Insurance. You need life insurance today. Tomorrow will be too late. Protect your family by calling Tim at 232-9981. Mimo's Pizza on Edison in Mishawaka, the best pizza in the state. Manja Manja. Also by the Mishawaka Education Foundation. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Hunger is a story we can end. Find out how at feedindiana.org. Midland Engineering Company, completing their first century of quality roofing experience. Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon, and Saturday at 11 a.m. until sold out. Legacy Heating and Air, your heating and clean air specialist. Find them online at legacyheatingandairinc.com. You know exactly what I'm going through right now, by the way, Vince.
Yes, I do.
Vince, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving our community while serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. South Bend Orthopedics, team physicians for the University of Notre Dame since 1949. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. And that's it. I got them all. Cool. All right. Business has been taken care of. Coming up, we will talk some hoops from the game last night. Play a couple of highlights and whatnot, and hear from the associate coach Anthony Solomon as well. We'll play back that interview that he did after the game last night with the Notre Dame Radio Network. That is all coming up. It is Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Budweiser's weekday sports beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Jimmy Rosari in for Sean Sires, along with Vince D'Addario. Notre Dame basketball last night. If you were among the three people who probably stayed awake last night, seriously.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. You know, and to stay awake that long for a loss, you know, and in the way that they did lose, you know, like it really did come down to the last minute. I think the largest lead that either team had was 7, and that was really early on. St. Mary's actually started the game on a 7-0 run, and then Notre Dame came, you know, clawed their way back into it, got. At least that first bucket, you know, broke the ice there. And then it was, you know, really, like, I'm looking at the highlights, and we've got the score attached to each one of them. And each one is, like, you know, 12-13, 14, 49-50, 56-54, you know, things like that all through the game. Yeah. So, you know, they were in it the whole game and had a chance to win it, but made a couple of mistakes. A backbreaker of a three-pointer by Fotu for St. Mary's as well in the last minute. Just, you know, they're a big man shooting a three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
he was 3 for 3 last night.
Yeah,
by the way,
you know,
three pointers.
Yeah, and you know that last one was the backbreaker that kind of, you know, put the nail in the coffin. But
But yeah, they went 8 for 15 from beyond the arc last night. And you're shooting over 50% from three-point land. Generally, good things are going to happen for you.
Yeah.
You know, and they shot almost 50% from the floor, and Notre Dame shot 38% from the floor and 33% from three. I mean, and they got out-rebounded 27 to 22. So, you know, they weren't really on the – I mean, and on top of that, it was only a three-point game, right? So, you know, Notre Dame had plenty of opportunities because they lost most of the stat battles that you look at when you're looking, okay, if I didn't know the final score and I'm looking at percentages and I'm looking at certain things and, you know, Notre Dame lost pretty much every one of those battles except the free throw battle where St. Mary's was 61% and Notre Dame was almost 85%, which you anticipate Notre Dame being good from the free throw line. They usually are. Last year was an exception. But usually they're good from the free throw line, and they were last night. And that's really what kept them in the game because they hit 11 free throws. And, you know, St. Mary's, you know, like I said, it was only 61%. So,
yeah, they got into the bonus situations pretty early in each half.
Yeah.
A lot earlier anyway than St. Mary's did. And you mentioned rebounding, how, you know, St. Mary's had 32, Notre Dame only had 27. But Notre Dame was, it wasn't until, like, halfway through the second half that St. Mary's got their first offensive rebound. So they weren't giving up very many second chances to St. Mary's, but, you know, they just couldn't put them away last night at all. Just couldn't, you know, couldn't put, like, a significant gap between the two of them. So here's how it sounded anyway, the last shot of the game, courtesy of the Notre Dame Radio Network.
Goodwin gets it into Ryan. Here he comes across midcourt. Ryan gets it off. Can he get the shot away? He'll put it up, and it's an air ball, and that's the game. The Irish got the ball into the front court, but they could not get a look at the rim, and St. Mary's gets the win. 62-59, the Gaels survive in what was a really hard-fought back-and-forth affair between Notre Dame and St. Mary's. Best game of the day, certainly, and the Irish come up short and take their first loss of the season. That is a tough one. We'll step aside and come back with the post-game show after this. This is Fighting Irish Basketball.
Well, there we go. Anyway, forgot to edit that part off, but whatever. So, you know, they were in it the whole game, and like you said, it was the best game of the day, too. Like, the other three games were all, like, you know, 20-point games, 30, you know, 25-point games. So, you know, Notre Dame and St. Mary's did provide, you know, the most of the entertainment value for the day, and it's unfortunate that it happened at 11:30 East Coast time. But yeah, that's how it ended. 62-59, the final score. Three players, they lose despite three players getting into double digits point wise. Cormac Ryan leading the way with 16 points. Atkinson, the transfer from Yale, 13 points and five rebounds. And then Dane Goodwin had 10 points and three rebounds as well. So, you know, it's like, you know, they were getting that sort of production. They got some good production out of Blake Wesley too. He really, you know, seemed to hold his own out there as a freshman. Trey Wirtz played some pretty good minutes in that game, but they just couldn't tie it all together, quite honestly. So that's how that goes, I guess. Irish down to 2-1 on the season. Like I said, they do play Chaminade, a Division II school. who knows how that's going to go? But here's Irish associate head coach Anthony Solomon after the game on the Notre Dame Radio Network.
We're now joined by the associate head coach, Anthony Solomon. Coach, a tough one tonight. I'm just curious, from your vantage point back in the locker room, what was kind of the message after this one?
Well, I think when you come to these tournaments, Tony, you got to respond quickly. And coach was quick to say, you know, we got to prepare for tomorrow. We got another opportunity tomorrow, but we got to learn from this one really fast. we put ourselves in position. It's a great basketball game, back and forth throughout. There are some possessions that we would like to have back on both ends of the floor. You know, I think in these type of late game situations, you remember the last possession or two. However, you know, it's a 40-minute game, as we talked about coming in, and a turnover or two here or there, a couple of miscues in terms of coverages defensively, kind of caught up with us there at the end.
What are some of the things you think you guys will focus on as you try to turn this around for tomorrow? I saw tonight only 7 assists on 21 field goals. I imagine you guys want to get the offense working a little bit more that way.
Yeah, it took us a while. At the start of the game, we did a lot of dribbling early away from the basket. They did a good job of really contesting us in the post. But, again, we have to be better at catching, being able to reverse the ball to the second side of the floor. And then there's more lanes to penetrate. Lots of wasted dribbles, probably for the first 12 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, those catch up with you there at the end. But we have to be better in terms of collectively as five out on the court, sharing the ball. We're a high assist team.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Tony, I mean, 7 assists, 8 turnovers, that's not us on that end of the floor. And I think we have to grow in that area really fast. You know, who can put it on the floor to penetrate? But sometimes just a post touch is the ability to penetrate the defense off the pass versus the dribble just to get things started. That's when we're at our best, when we are able to reverse the ball and play from inside out, whether it's off the bounce or off the pass.
You know, in games like this, I think it's always easy to be deflated and only look at the negatives, but you mentioned it was a really good basketball game. I thought both teams fought really hard. What did you maybe take away? What were some positives that you saw from the team? I thought the fight late was one that stuck out to me.
Yeah, we, you know, as you know, Tony, we've spent a lot of time over the last several months with our defensive habits. We got to remain consistent with that. We have to put that in our heads mentally and put it in our hearts. Even if something as simple as you guard the dribble, they pick it up. You now have to stay between your man and the basket instead of jumping out of position and then giving them what we like to call an easy bucket. And that's something that we're going to go back to look at tonight. How many easy points did we give to them, especially the last 10 minutes of the game, when it really counts? You have to really be on top of your game collectively those last 10 minutes, which we like to call winning time.
Yeah.
And you can't get this one back, but we can get it back to help us going forward, and that's going to be really important.
That kind of leads me to the last question I have for you. You mentioned these tournaments, it's tough. They come at you fast. You got to flip the page really quickly, less than 24 hours, and you have a Chaminade team. I imagine it's difficult. You lose this one. You're on the loser side of the bracket now. How do you keep the group motivated and see the task at hand the next 2 days?
Well, I think it takes what it takes. We signed up for this, Tony. And, you know, the young people, they all want to play at this high level of basketball. We're at a beautiful place, great venue. And we got another chance to play in 24 hours. And we're expecting to come out and play a great level of energy and excitement and grow our level of execution on both sides of the floor. This is our third game. And this was a higher level,
yeah,
which was great. I think it was something that we learned individually as well as collectively, yeah, about our guys and them about themselves. And we can grow from this. We got wonderful young people, but right now we're pressing them in terms of the ability to execute when it's that time of the game, the ability to stay connected.
Yeah.
And we're growing in that area. We just weren't able to put it together for 40 minutes tonight.
Coach, as always, appreciate you taking the time after a loss, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Tony.
And that is Coach Anthony Solomon from the Notre Dame men's basketball program post game last night after the loss to St. Mary's. If there was one thing that I even picked up on just kind of listening to the game, and you saw a little bit of this on Twitter as well last night with various people following the game, it seemed like they took Paul Atkinson out of the game at odd times. I think there was one point where I think it's like 5 minutes left in the game, and they take him out. And I give him a breather before the last, you know,
sure.
Get him back in before the last timeout, you know, fine. But he had just hit a couple of buckets and was really on this roll, and they took him out. And I'm just like, you know, he's obviously having a good game.
And I don't think it's arguable right now that he's your best player on the team either.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to need him for stretches when the game is on the line. And 5 minutes to go, you got to have your horses on the floor. And I realize at some point you do have to rest him. I get that.
Yeah.
But, man, that's a tough time to take him out.
Yeah. Yeah. That had me questioning things a little bit. I was just kind of like, wait, why are they putting Leshevsky in now? Why is Atkinson going to the bench right now? You know, as I'm sitting here, you know, just listening to the game even, I was just like, come on, what are you doing? So.
Yeah, I agree. Again, he's been your most consistent, your best player so far through, what, 3-4 games? And you're going to need him. And I'm surprised but not surprised at the same time that, you know, they only went to two guys on the bench. Yes, there's a time difference. I get that. But it's still 11:30 at night. They haven't been in Vegas long enough to really, you know, get used to the time change. Guys are going to get tired. It's 11:30 at night, and you're asking them, well, and by the time that they're probably getting tired, it's the next day. And so I'm surprised they didn't try to go to the bench a little bit more, maybe early, to try to save some legs, you know, things of that nature. But it's a Mike Bray coached Notre Dame team, so why would anybody think that that was going to happen?
Right, right. Notre Dame playing tonight against Chaminade, like I mentioned, 10:30
yes, sir.
Tip. Pregame starts here at 10 o'clock here on 960 AM WSBT. Sports Beat, Budweiser's weekday Sports Beat continues after this.
This is the My 5 Question of the Day.
Can you dig it?
On Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
New college football playoff rankings come out tonight. So, who does Vince think is going to be in the top five? Starting with number one, actually.
We're going backwards,
baby. We're going backwards today.
That's right.
Because that's just what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And the number one team, I don't think, is going to change because they haven't lost. And they've done it in pretty convincing fashion overall. So,
yeah.
I still have the Georgia Bulldogs in the number one slot.
Makes sense. Number two.
Number two. This is where I believe there should be a change. Not that I have agreed with the committee putting Alabama in the two slot as early as they did. I did not think that Alabama deserved to be there with one loss. But if I'm taking a long view at this whole thing, you know, a bird's eye view, Ohio State is playing better football right now than Alabama is. And, you know, Ohio State just put a beat down on Michigan State, who is arguably or not arguably, they were a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama struggled with Arkansas. Now, was that game ever in doubt? Probably not. But they still struggled. It was still a touchdown win. Whereas, you know, Michigan
favored by 20. So,
well, there you go. And I haven't been all that impressed with Alabama. So my number two, and I think the committees also should be, Ohio State.
All right. Georgia number one, Ohio State number two, and then number three.
Well, that would be the Crimson Tide. I think that they should just flip-flop because Ohio State was three, Alabama was two last week. I think they should flip, and I think Alabama should be sitting in the three hole. And I think if Alabama is in the two hole, the two slot, this ranking tonight, I think that tells you a lot about how much the committee is going to do everything that they can to keep Alabama as close to the four as they possibly can with two losses if they lose to Georgia.
Yeah.
If they put them in the three spot, then I think that they are actually looking at this objectively. So that's the big piece that I'm looking at for tonight.
Okay. All right. Number four.
Number four is Cincinnati, undefeated still. And I think they made a statement this past weekend against SMU. They didn't squeak by the Mustangs like they've been squeaking by everybody else. They actually put a thumping on SMU, and SMU can score points, and they did not score points against Cincinnati. So I think Cincinnati finally kind of stepped up over the last month and said, look, we're undefeated. We belong in this conversation. I think they bump up to number four since Oregon lost.
Georgia number one, Ohio State number two, Alabama number three, Cincinnati number four. Who is on the outside of Vince's college football playoff rankings?
Well, I think there's an argument to be made between five and six. You know, you've got Michigan, you got Notre Dame.
Ooh, are we getting a bonus one?
I'm giving you a bonus.
Yeah,
baby. I've got Michigan at five only because I think that's what the committee is going to do. I think if this was the last show, then we have a conversation about Michigan and Notre Dame and their resume and all that. But since Michigan's probably going to lose this Saturday to Ohio State, I think it's probably a moot point. So I'll go ahead and put the Wolverines at five, and then I've got Notre Dame at six. But Notre Dame is poised and ready to move up as soon as the Wolverines take their whooping from the Buckeyes. So, and then, of course, Oklahoma State right after Notre Dame. So that's all right. My top seven: Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State. I think those are the ones, those are the seven teams that still have a shot at the Final Four.
All right. That's a solid ranking right there.
Thank you.
I'd be fine with if that's what came out.
Well, and like I said, if you're a Notre Dame fan,
it still doesn't mean I'm not going to be surprised, you know, that I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati was the number four, you know, when it comes out tonight. Like, I'd still be like, wow, they really did it.
Yeah, well, the committee doesn't want them there.
No.
I don't see how they can keep them out at this point.
Right.
They're still undefeated. Now, if they take a loss, I think Cincinnati plummets.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I think the committee will just be doing, like, Irish jigs in the corner of the room, be like, yeah, they lost.
Finally, they lost.
Yeah, they want Cincinnati to lose bad.
Yeah.
Not lose bad, but they want them to lose badly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not want Cincinnati, and it was very clear from all their rankings, they do not want Cincinnati in the Final Four. So, but I don't see how they cannot put them in the Final Four based on the fact that Oregon lost, and everybody's just going to kind of move up a little bit.
All right, that's who Vince thinks is going to be in the college football playoff rankings is top seven. So I guess, you know, the My Seven.
Give you a bonus, baby.
Yeah.
Give you a bonus.
Yeah. Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati in the top four, and then Michigan, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma State in the 5, 6, and 7 spots. A SportsCenter update coming up in just a few minutes, and then hour two of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
You're listening to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat with Sean Stiers. On Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Jim and Vince in for Sean today. He's traveling with the women's basketball team down to Daytona Beach. He will be on tomorrow for, I think, an hour. So
he's got a date with the beach.
That is not a bad schedule right there. I'll just say that.
I'm telling you.
Let's talk NFL, the NFL coaching hot seat. Man, did it get interesting today. First of all, the Giants let go of offensive coordinator Jason Garrett, which, thank God.
You're a Giants fan too, aren't you?
I am. If I had to look at Jason Garrett clapping one more time on my sideline, that act got thin when he was the Cowboys coach. That's the fact that he, you know, just continued doing it. Ugh, I couldn't stand it. 26 games.
Me and Sean can commiserate about that one.
Yeah, it took 26 games. All right, 26 games. Here's the Giants offense. since the start of the 2020 season. Okay, yards per play at 5.1, 28th ranked. Points per game, 17.2, 30th ranked. Yards per game, 308.5, 31st. Third down percentage, 37%, 31st in the league.
Those are some quality numbers right there.
Yeah.
You know what those numbers sound like? Stanford. I'm just saying. Not to parlay everything back to Notre Dame, so, but...
going to be a good time on Saturday night, I take it? Is that what you're saying, Vince?
So when you're talking NFL rankings and it's in the 30s, that's obviously really, really bad. When you're talking NCAA rankings and they're in the triple digits, those are really, really bad, and that's what we're talking about. So,
that's... whew.
But, yeah, that's terrible for the Giants. Especially, I mean, they got a pretty decent quarterback. I don't know what your feelings are about Daniel Jones. Is it still, are the feelings, what do you think?
I've kind of eased off a little bit off of my just white-hot hatred of him. He's actually been pretty competent this year, all things considered. A terrible offensive line. They did get Andrew Thomas back, their left tackle. A really good left tackle, too, by the way. He had been out the last couple of weeks with injury, so they got him back. He caught a touchdown last night. Big guy touchdown.
And he went up to get it,
He went up to get it. I was impressed by that. I was like, hey, that's my tackle.
That's an
right
athletic
there.
Play. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So that was his first game back in a couple of games. And but Jones's numbers, they're not terrible. I still think he could do better as far as not making so many damn mistakes at the absolute wrong time.
Just controlling the game a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, again, and I've always said this, but game manager is not a bad term.
No.
He needs to manage the game better.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's he makes too many mistakes when you can't really make mistakes. You have to manage the game better.
There's only so much blame that the players can take before you really got to start looking at the coaches. 18.9 points per game this season, 25th in the NFL on offense. And after the loss, Joe Judge even placed the blame on the Giants coaches. He said, you can put that down tonight. Got that? He said that last night.
Wow.
You guys can write that tonight. Players have to execute. That is their job, right? It's our job to teach them. It's their job to go out and execute. But we've got to make sure we put them in position to have success. That has to be consistent, by the way. So you can go ahead and write that down. I'm not going to debate that. Unquote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
he's,
I mean...
He's so warm he's and cuddly.
Wrong.
He's not wrong. He really isn't. The Giants giving the offensive play calling over to Freddie Kitchens.
Former Cleveland head coach.
Yeah, former Browns head coach, offensive coordinator. He had been in a senior offensive assistant role.
Oh.
Working a lot with the quarterbacks, so basically their quarterbacks coach.
Why can't they just say that? But
right,
whatever.
Right. But I was amazed when I saw that his win-loss record with Dallas. I forgot that he was above 500.
They had a modicum amount of respect. The success was there at times, which is why he held on to his job for as long as he did.
Oh yeah.
Right? I mean, and he was handpicked by Jerry Jones. We all know how that all went down. So
Nine plus seasons, that
obviously also gave him some more rope to hang himself with, but they did have some success. I mean, they weren't winning playoff games, obviously, and they weren't doing what they needed to do, but they had enough success that he was able to hold on to his job.
Yeah. So, but 26 games is all it took with the Giants. Kind of makes me wonder if he had been the head coach, how long would he have lasted?
Yeah.
would he have lasted 9.5 years like he did in Dallas? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
So that's among the first things definitely heating up around Halas Hall with the Bears.
Your team to mine, huh? That's what we're going to do here? Okay.
Well, I mean, this let's just...
Probably should have happened at the end of last year, but that's a different conversation.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. This was what happened today. Bears coach Matt Nagy denied a report that he had been informed that he would be fired after Thursday's game against the Lions, saying he has not spoken to the team's leadership about his job status. Quote, "That is not accurate," unquote, Nagy said Tuesday afternoon during the 10-minute meeting with reporters focused largely on a Patch.com report that quoted a top source. But yeah,
the quote I heard,
just
the quote
flat
I heard
out
from him,
flat out asked, "Hey, are you getting fired after Thursday?"
How are you supposed to answer that? First
right.
of all, if you're Matt Nagy, yeah, you got me.
Yep, yep.
You just told me.
Yeah, this,
and but I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna be a lame duck head right. coach for one game, so I don't get to spend Thanksgiving with my family.
Right.
Got
yeah.
it. No, look. He basically said, "We have not had a conversation."
Yeah.
My interpretation, my glasses half empty interpretation of that was they didn't have a conversation with him. They told him. A conversation involves two people, you know, giving input.
Yeah.
Generally, when you're let go of your duties, it's not a conversation. So,
and you're generally not told about it in advance either.
Right. Right. It's more like, hey, here's one of those paper boxes, right? The boxes that hold the paper
right.
for the copy machine. Clean
right.
out your desk.
Right.
Security will escort you out.
Right.
Like, that's usually how that conversation goes.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm sure that the Bears are exact, you know, they're wanting to have to deal with Matt Nagy being on the plane after being fired possibly on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, on the quick plane trip back to Chicago. Granted, just a hop and a skip, really,
True.
From Detroit, but still kind of awkward.
I'd be taking a different flight. I know, if I'm Nagy, you know what, guys? I'll see you later. You know what? I'm not even going back to Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm going to an island someplace, yeah. which he could probably afford without any problem. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, that's – unless your name's Ed Orgeron, you're probably not going to be a lame duck coach. You know, hey, by the way, you're fired, but we'd love for you to finish out the season. Yeah, that's
right.
usually
yeah.
how it goes.
Yeah, not in the pros anyway, yeah.
No. But now, would it shock me if they fired him after he loses to the winless Lions? No, it wouldn't. But I do have a hard time seeing them lose to the Lions, especially, you know, considering their quarterback is out, although so is Chicago's. But I still have a hard time seeing them lose to the Lions. If they do lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving, then he kind of deserves to be out.
Oh,
to be
yeah.
honest with you.
I mean,
so,
that's...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's going to be watching that game.
Yes,
you know,
that's
that,
correct.
That's the game
Even
that everybody
that don't watch
watches.
Football.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's the first one. It's the 12:30
yeah.
game.
Like, yeah.
That's the one everybody's watching. No question about it.
Right. So... Yeah, apparently the Bears did not immediately make owner George McCaskey, team president Ted Phillips, or general manager Ryan Pace available to address the Patch.com report.
They don't want everybody to lie to the
right.
faces of the media, basically.
Right. If Nagy goes, Pace has to go too, right?
They're pretty joined at the hip,
I mean,
to be honest with
like
you.
Like, they have to. One would think, anyway.
Well, one would think, but then that would be logical, and
True.
Logic does not generally find its way to Halas Hall very often as of late.
Right.
So, would not surprise me in any way that they kept him on and he gets to fuck. Mm. So, and then if that coach is a failure, then yeah, he's got to go.
Yeah.
But I think I will say that I feel like maybe he saved his job a little bit by drafting Justin Fields, even though it was obvious, I suppose, that that's
sure.
what he should do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like he might have held on for a little bit longer because I think it's clear that Justin Fields will probably at least be pretty decent.
Yeah.
Once he gets a grasp of what the NFL is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, so maybe he bought himself a little bit of time because of that. But again, he also brought in Matt Nagy and he made some other mistakes and, you know, but again, it's all about what have you done for me lately, and lately he could have very well brought in a franchise quarterback. So,
right,
there's a chance that he holds on to his gig.
Right. So, during the game on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
Did you watch the game at all?
I did not.
Okay, so you didn't see this.
I did not.
You could, by some accounts that I had heard, you could hear this on the radio broadcast. I'm not sure if you could have heard it on TV.
Well, it was that's why I didn't watch it, now that I remember. The Bears game was not on here locally.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They had the Colts game on instead. Otherwise, I would have watched it. I watched the Colts game.
Okay. Yeah. So you could hear it on the radio broadcast.
Okay.
And this was the scene, you know, basically in the stands at Soldier Field as the game on Sunday was ending. Just listen to this.
Fire Nagy. Is that what that was?
Yep, that's exactly what that was. So apparently all of Chicago is united in this front. I will say
they're all Lions fans is what you're telling me right now.
They are united. Here's how united they are. Last night, the Bulls are getting blown out at the United Center against the Pacers of all teams.
They got annihilated.
They got thwacked last night. This happened during the Bulls game at the United Center last night.
Team that went to the Olympics in 88, John Thompson, John Thompson, good strong move, was the Olympic coach there. And the United States finished third.
Right on the foul. His second foul and the first on the Pacers in the fourth.
So that audio, of course, from NBC Sports Chicago. Fire Nagy makes it into the United Center during the Bulls game.
It was probably a lot of the same fans.
Probably was.
It was a home game for the Bears, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was a 1 o'clock start. And then I believe the NBA game was in the evening, right?
No, this was last night.
Oh,
The NBA game was last night.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, I get my days confused because this holiday week stuff is messing with my brain.
I'm not going to lie.
Today was my first day of work, and I thought it was Monday all day long. So, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I thought today was Wednesday for the longest time.
See, so, there you go. So we're all screwed up.
Yeah.
Meet in the middle.
I don't know where to make heads or tails, quite honestly, of the rest of this week. Let's just say that. Okay. I'm just going to play this clip. And then I'm going to tell you where it's coming from.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you heard it. You heard them chanting it there.
That was the clearest one.
Yeah. That was a high school game.
Shut up.
Yeah. That was a high school game. I have a problem with that one.
Wow.
Here's my problem.
Basketball or high school football?
High school football.
Okay.
I have a problem with that one because that game, the road team was Lake Forest High School.
Okay.
I forget the name of the school that they were playing. I forget the name of the home team, basically. But Lake Forest was the visiting team in that game.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with this, and I'm not going to be happy.
Lake Forest happens to have a player who, oh, by the way, is Matt Nagy's son.
There you go. I knew that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
That's
terrible.
I get being upset as a fan base with a team that had a ton of expectations, you know, came in this year, you know, even after Justin Fields gets drafted, you know, probably maybe shooting a little bit too high as far as those expectations went, but still, you know, just at least excited about the season, you know, and things just haven't gone the way that maybe they probably should have, you know, it's been a pretty long year for Bears fans. But you take that up only with Matt Nagy.
Exactly.
You cannot bring his kids into the, like, you can't, if you're at that game, you cannot do that to his son.
Yeah. Yep, could not agree more. You don't bring kids into it. That's off limits.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you don't. You know, if whatever, people get mad at me for something, you don't go to my kids' event and start yelling at them because of something that I did. That's messed up. That's wrong, and that's out of bounds. That's 100% out of bounds. And I would be livid if that came out. And to be honest with you, if I'm Matt Nagy, that's the first thing I bring up at my next press conference. Perfectly honest with you, I'm going Papa Bear all the way. Be like, look, you got a problem with me? That's fine. We'll deal with that. But you do not take that to my kids.
Leave
that,
my
that
kid
is
out of
messed
this.
Up. Yeah, yeah. That's messed up, man. That is not okay. Families are off limits, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a classless move right there.
Yes, exactly right.
The principal, the head coach, and the superintendent of that school district where that happened, they all apologized, by the way.
Good.
Issued a formal apology on, school... school organization,
school
letterhead.
Social media or whatever. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, on letterhead too. They, basically good. Just kind of scanned this in, and put it, online as well. But, they've since made, the proper apologies and whatnot. And they can't control that either. But, can we just do better as fans?
Exactly. That, again, you there's so many other things that you can do to voice your displeasure about the head coach of an NFL franchise.
Yeah.
As opposed to go to a high school game and chant, fire him
at his
that's
son.
That's his kid's last name too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not okay. That's messed up.
Yeah. So, Man. So yeah, I've got a little bit of a problem now with where, calling for somebody's firing, where that leads to. I got a little bit of a problem with that, and we need to do better about that. Let's see, got about a half hour left of Budweiser's weekday sports beat. It rolls on after this on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Budweiser's weekday sports beat. Jim and Vince in for Sean. I need to be Notre Dame's travel agent. That's
the
last thing that I'm going to say about it. But
but it's not the last time you're going to think about it.
Oh no,
no,
not at all. not
Sean Styers was born under a lucky star. That's all I got to say. We won't even talk about the fact that he's talented and he deserves the job, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we get it, but he's also in Florida, okay? And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me check. Yeah, it's 36 degrees outside of where I'm currently at. Yeah. And my guess is it's a little warmer where Sean Styers is at or where he's traveling to. I don't know if he's there yet, but they're in Daytona, right? Daytona Beach?
Daytona Beach, yes. Let me...
It's 56, which I guess isn't...
Really?
Yeah. It's currently 56, but tomorrow it's going to be 69, Thursday 73, Friday 74, bring it on, man. And sun, of course.
Partly cloudy.
Yeah. And here it's going to be 43, 49, 47, 34. So...
Yay. Yay.
Good for Sean.
He was blessed with that. I'll say that with good travel. I'll say that. Anyway, this just coming down.
What do you got
for some fantasy football purposes? Anyway. The Tennessee Titans announcing today that they have waived veteran running back Adrian Peterson.
I don't want to live in a world where Adrian Peterson isn't playing NFL football. Because I don't think I've lived much in my life where he hasn't been playing NFL football.
Peterson signed with the Titans to their practice squad on November 2nd after Derrick Henry was placed on injured reserve that same day. And then signed him to the 53-man roster on November 5th. Made his Titans debut in Week 9 against the Rams. One-yard touchdown run tied him with Walter Payton for 11th place in the career scoring list.
Nice.
But carried the ball 27 times, 82 yards, one touchdown in three games this season. So that's
not great.
Yeah. That
got to crack the top 10, though, man.
Yeah.
You said he's at 11th. Got to get to the top 10. Yeah. Somebody will sign him. Leave it up to the Bears. They'll sign him. The Lions.
You know what?
I'm
actually surprised. But when Montgomery was out, I'm surprised they didn't go that route. I'm surprised they didn't at least bring him in and work him out.
Give him a chance.
You know? So
give him a chance. Yeah. They will. They will.
Yeah, but you know, you got Khalil Herbert now. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So many loyalties for Bears fans. Anyway, let's talk some numbers. Let's talk some betting here.
I love that. Yeah. Let's do it.
So Thanksgiving. Three games, of course. Bears, Lions. Raiders and Cowboys should be a fun game. Bills and Saints also should be fun. Bears and Lions. Bears favored by 3.5. The over under set at 41.5.
Bears Lions set at 41.5. I probably would take the under because neither team can score, especially if neither starting quarterback right. is going to play in the game. I don't trust Andy Dalton to put too many points on the board.
Yeah.
And it's
the Tim Boyle show in Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know who the backup quarterback is for Detroit.
Yeah, Tim Boyle went 15 of 23 for just 77 yards with two interceptions against the Browns.
You kind of have to try to be that bad.
I was where was it that I saw this? But it basically was like how the hell is Tim Boyle an NFL quarterback and this and this guy aren't? And they're all guys who had way better college stats and also have some pro experience, you know, who are, you know, free agents right now. And then there's Tim Boyle who, if you looked at his stats, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, all I remember is that they were terrible. Even his college stats were just god awful. Like, how is this guy an NFL quarterback? So, yeah,
right, exactly.
I do like the Bears on the points, though.
What's the spread again?
3.5.
Yeah, I would take the Bears because I still think that they're better than the Lions. We've talked about all the problems with the Bears and, you know, everything that they have stacked up against them. But they still have three times as many wins as the Lions.
Yeah.
So I still feel good, even though it'll be on the road for the Bears. I still feel good about Chicago. I think that's a safe bet as well.
Yeah. Yeah, basically the Lions offense, they're now down three starting offensive linemen, first of all, out. They didn't really have any wide receivers to begin with. So it's basically Tim Boyle, DeAndre Swift, and TJ Hockenson manning the boat there. Bears are pretty banged up, too, though. Allen Robinson is a question mark with his hamstring. Khalil Mack's done for the year. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Jackson, they're question marks, too, after missing last week. Jackson seems ready to go this week, and that would be a big help.
Huge.
Yeah. David Montgomery, you know, he is healthy now, so, you know, expect probably a big game from him to kind of take things off of Andy Dalton's spotlight, I guess. So, but yeah, that's the kind of game where I have a better chance of just looking at it and not wanting to eat anymore. You know what I mean? Like
you better go with the brunch.
Yeah,
you better be eating at about 11 o'clock then, buddy.
Yeah, right. You know, but like you know, you get to halftime, which is typically when my family will start, you know, unleashing the food.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like 2 o'clock, you know, I guess around for halftime anyway. And yeah, it's just like, this game is no good. So, yeah. Bears minus 3.5. I like that. Under 41.5 if you really want to just torture yourself.
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't touch the over under because
I wouldn't either.
The defenses aren't fantastic, and so they might accidentally score the over.
That's true.
So I wouldn't touch the over under.
That would be the worst beat in the world.
Yeah,
the Bears and the Lions get the over.
That's what I'm saying. But you know it would happen.
And it would only happen by like half a point or a full point.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it would totally happen. Yeah. It would come down to
the last 2 minutes of the game.
Absolutely. I would not touch it. Wouldn't touch it.
Raiders and Cowboys, the second of the three games. Cowboys favored by a touchdown.
Sounds about right. I think I would take Cowboys in the points. I think the Cowboys and the Raiders are going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
You know, and a touchdown doesn't seem like enough. I mean, that's a lot for an NFL game. Mm-hmm. But I think I like the Cowboys here.
I think their defense comes out to play on Thanksgiving. They've had a couple of duds recently on the offense with the Broncos and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of duds, let's just be honest. But the defense has shown up to play. They showed up to play against the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't really get it, you know, let it get too out of hand anyway. So favorites of a touchdown or more, that's what I'm trying to say, are 16-3 against the spread on Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
So remember that too. Like I said, Cowboys 7-point favorite. The over under on that game set at 51.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points for an NFL game.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. I just always get burned when I start doing overs and unders, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the over under.
Okay, all right. I respect that. I had a nice little parlay that included one over-under. And, of course, it was the over-under that wound up not hitting. And let's just say that it was the Colts and the Bills. And I missed it by a point. So.
Mm. Yeah.
That just that ignited like another little another little sticking point against the Colts, quite honestly, for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
Colts are.
I hear you.
The Colts are consistently that team that will screw me out on a parlay. I'm just saying.
I took the Bills on the money line, so that was part of my parlay. So that was over real fast.
Yeah, that was
over real fast.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, who saw
five touchdowns.
You know who?
I mean. I think he's a really good running back, and I thought maybe someday, like, yeah, that could be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't expecting it against the Bills at Buffalo.
I wasn't expecting Jonathan Taylor to all of a sudden turn into Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he has. So I was not expecting that at all.
It's right when the Colts need him though, because you know the Titans lost one,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the Colts are on a 3-game win streak right now. And, you know, they're on a 3-game win streak right now, so they're sitting at 6-5, and the Titans are 8-3, so they're still 2 games back.
Yeah.
But the Titans, they should not have lost that last game. That was borderline embarrassing.
Against Houston, who's just
that
terrible.
That was borderline. I mean, and they lost by 9.
Yeah.
9.
They were down 19.
Right. Exactly. That's not okay. I mean, that's not okay. So... Yeah. It's going to be interesting because the next game for the Titans is against the Patriots, and the Patriots are headed in a very positive direction right now.
Yeah, Patriots are hot, Colts are hot. That doesn't go well for the number one seed right now in the AFC.
That's exactly right. And I believe the Colts have a fairly favorable. Well, they got the Bucs next week, and then they got the Texans, and then they got the Patriots, and then they got the Cardinals. So there's nothing. set in stone that's going to be easy.
There's nothing real light here on the Colts schedule either.
Yeah.
You know,
no, there's not.
That Houston date, okay. But getting to the Colts bye week is going to be an adventure for them too. So,
but if they can get to January,
yeah,
and be within shouting distance of the Titans, they finish with the Raiders and the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the Titans, they finish with the Dolphins and the Texans.
Yeah.
So, pretty sure the Titans have this one sewn up. But you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
The Titans do have the benefit of having swept the Colts already in the regular season.
Exactly.
So if it does
that
come down to a tie.
Lost,
yeah.
Yeah. That game that the Colts lost, the 34-31 back on Halloween in overtime, that one hurt big time.
That was
the Colts needed that one.
That really
was kind of a make
hit.
Or break.
Yeah. And then Sunday Night Football, Bills and Saints. You've got Drew Brees in the booth. Tirico and Brees are going to be in the booth for the Thursday night game, for the nightcap on Thanksgiving between the Bills and the Saints. That seems partial, right?
Yeah. Well, no more partial than him doing the Purdue-Notre Dame game.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you know. Buffalo, a 4-point favorite, which kind of makes sense. Well,
they should be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Trevor Siemian is not the answer, obviously, at quarterback. We kind of knew this anyway, but, you know, it's manifested itself once again. I don't know what they're seeing in Taysom Hill to where they're giving him an extension.
They love them some Taysom Hill, and I don't think that they love him at quarterback. They just love him to be that kind of every guy.
They like him as that ratchet player. You know, you could plug him in anywhere.
They, yeah, like Virginia uses it, and they call the position football player. FBP. That's what they call it. Football player.
Football
like that's
player.
Taysom Hill. He's football player. Like that's his role with the Saints, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could really kind of say that about a lot of guys with the Saints, but you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He's a football player.
Yeah.
Bills favored by 4 in New Orleans in the dome, which is probably going to be really loud.
I would imagine
46.5 is the point total on this. You know, Bills, when they've won, they've looked awesome. When they've lost, it has been ugly. Colts game
Sunday.
Like last week,
yeah.
losing to the Jags the week before. Whew. They've lost.
Yeah.
They've lost 3 of their past 5 with 6 Josh Allen interceptions during that streak.
Yeah,
so they're the biggest all or nothing team. If you know if they're winning. Great. Good times straight ahead.
Right.
If they're losing, it is all hands on deck. We got to stop the Titanic from sinking. You know,
the Saints have been two-faced all season as well. I mean,
they have.
They put a whooping on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Patriots by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Then they go and they lose to the Giants. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Seahawks, which maybe you thought that was a good win at the time. I'm not sure that's such a good win now. And then they beat the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
and then they lose to the Falcons and the Titans,
yeah.
and the Eagles.
Yeah,
like what?
Now part
I can't figure it out. I can't figure out
that,
the Saints.
Part of that is Alvin Kamara missing the last 2.
Okay, fair enough.
Is he
11 points though against the Eagles?
Mm.
He's 2 points against the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's 11 points against the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But still,
yeah.
just the
but
fact...
your point is made.
Just to have Alvin Kamara out on the field is going to draw some attention.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he's drawing the double team, whether you like it or not.
No question.
So, you know, Saints also missing Michael Thomas and also 3 of the 5 starters on what was supposed to be an elite offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's... not good. Saints got demolished, just like the Bills. Maybe worse than the Bills, even. They were down in that final quarter, 33-7. That may be worse.
Eef.
You know, I think they put up
22 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, you know, Thanksgiving night favorites are also 10-4.
It's about probably as long as they've been doing the night game, right?
I mean, just about. Yeah,
14 years. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long, to be honest with you.
I mean, let's not forget, you know, the butt fumble was a Thanksgiving night game.
Was it really?
Yep.
Maybe that's why I actually saw it.
Yep.
Because I don't generally find myself watching Jets games.
Right.
Yeah, but, so that would make sense.
Yeah,
I saw it live, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, definitely bet the Bills and the points here. Some good value there still. Bet it all the way to maybe -6. So, yeah. But 4-point favorite right now. So,
all right, I'm betting the turkey dinner on this thing. So,
you're going
big. I'm taking your advice here.
All right. Okay. All right. Thursday night, Thanksgiving night games have gone under, by the way, in 10 of 14 seasons, including 6 straight. So,
oh, wow.
Take the under on the points. That just seems like a safe bet if you're going to go that route. So
you're just a fountain of information when it comes to degenerate gambling, like myself.
You know, it's how I live. I live in the dark corners of the world.
Dangerously.
Right. We will wrap things up coming up next. It is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Football fans, this Bud's for you. Also by the fine folks at Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Legacy Heating and Air, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Midland Engineering Company, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, South Bend Orthopedics, Mimo's Pizza on Edison and Mishawaka, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Wings Etc. Grill and Pub, the Mishawaka Education Foundation, and also Four Winds Casino. We will see you tomorrow. Notre Dame basketball tonight starting at 10 o'clock with the pregame tip-off at 10:30 against Chaminade in the Maui Invitational. Until then, Jimmy Rosari, Vince D'Addario, have a good rest of your evening. This has been Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.